this place on today. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for every good and perfect gift that comes from above. We ask and pray, God, that you would use this vessel of clay for your glory. Bless your people in spite of your preacher. We pray, God, that your word would go forth, that it would speak to us, that even as we've arrived on this date on the calendar, we thank you, God, that as we've gone through our trials, had our tribulations, we also have our testimony. We thank you, God, that things are as well as they are. Now speak unto us by your Holy Spirit. We ask and pray, God, that you would bless us, bring salvation to waiting hearts and open minds. God, we pray that you would bring blessing to those who are looking for your next move in this season. God, we thank you right now for allowing us this privilege where so many did not make it to this point. Every year carries a number and somebody's gone. But God, we're still here. As broken as we may feel, we're still here. And we thank you for that, God. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Shine on me. Shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine. Chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse number 13. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. You may be seated. That I will give you the rain of your land in your due season or at the proper time. The first rain and the latter rain, that you may go out and bring in grain. Amen. As you'll pray with us and pray for us, I want to talk in encouraging the household of faith here at Hopewell from this particular thought. I'm ready for some rain. I'm ready for some rain. Amen. It's mighty quiet in here. Amen. For folk that the Lord has brought through 12 months of hell and high water and trial and tribulation, you're here. Amen. You're here. December 31st, 2017. Somebody may have thought that you would not have made it to this point, but you are here. And I say to you, my brothers and sisters, that if we were to be honest, if I were to pull this house from this side all the way to that side, if we were to be honest in here, somebody would say, Pastor, the place where I'm in is presently parched. In other words, there's dryness all around me. Are you going to be honest today? You're excited and you're looking forward to the change of the calendar on tomorrow, but if you were to be honest, that sickness is really not going anywhere. That brokenness is still there. Just because the day changes, it does not mean that those things are going to leave your address. Dryness is all around you. Your goals and some dreams you had for the past 12 months and some New Year's resolutions you had last year are still out there in eternity somewhere, but they did not come to pass. And so there are things that you're going to leave on the table, and you're going to have to move forward, because even as you're here in the house of God, those things seemingly are no closer to becoming reality than they were January 1st, 2017, as they are now 12 months later. Somebody would say, Pastor, things are not like I want them to be as I'm about ready to cross over. But I've got to tell you, you can't stop time, and you cannot refuse to cross over. In other words, you can't say, y'all let me stay here with my grief of 2017 while everybody else goes over in 2018. No, baby, when the morning rises in a few hours, if you have breath in your body, you will go over with all of your pain and your problems and all of your issues. You will carry some of those things that are unresolved even right now over in a new year. Well, I hate to bust your bubble and make you to come to church to hear a word that may have you kind of wondering now about whether or not 2018 is going to be a good year. It'll be a good year by the grace of God. Somebody would say, well, Pastor, if I could just have the power to redeem time, I'd go back and fix stuff from 6 months ago, or I'd get ready for a restart if I could only redeem time. Well, I tell you, time is not in our hands. We cannot go back, and tomorrow is in the past. You really can't do anything about it, so you've got to live in the present and prepare for the future. Anybody in this house on today, just excited that you're here on the last day? You're here, and there are things that are happening in your life, and the glory of God is being revealed in every situation of your life, and therefore you have reason to celebrate. Yeah, somebody's here today and you're about to let the devil steal your joy. You're about to come in from the opening call to worship and then allow the benediction to arrive and still you not move to praise the God that woke you up this morning and started you on your way. You're here and your ground is parched. That's the hard reality to face, is that I'm a Christian, but my ground is parched and dry, and everything around me seems to have dried up. Has anybody ever been in that place before? You didn't want to take another step forward because all around you was dryness. Let me help you to understand what I mean when I say dryness. You should be in a place of moisture. The wetness of God, the saturation of God all around you should be all over your life, producing those things that bring him glory and will also, watch this, be a blessing in your own house. But the reality is, where there's dryness, there is no produce. There is no harvest. There is no grain to be gathered. Things cannot grow where there is dryness. So we pray that the text today will help us as we investigate it to see how God's pattern is for our dryness. This letter, Deuteronomy, is a love letter of Moses to the Israelite people. It is, of course, the last letter of the law. Moses writes this letter, and then someone else finishes the letter. As Moses writes this letter to his beloved Israelites people, he writes to enlighten them about what God was ready to do in their midst. And then also he writes to prepare them to handle where they are headed. God is not only interested in you knowing where you are going, but God also wants you to know how to handle yourself when he carries you there. I wish I had some help in here. He wants you to have some words of wisdom while you're about to walk into. He doesn't want you to walk into 2018 blind as you were coming into 2017. There was some stuff, if we were to be honest, hit us off guard. It caught us when we were not looking, and it knocked us out of where we thought we should be. And if we had an opportunity, we would go back and change that about our experience. But I want you to know, God wants you to know where you're going, and he wants you to know how to handle it when you get there. The thing I noticed right away about this chapter 11 is that wherever there is a promise, and you'll see it in the text, a promise from God, there is always a plan. And wherever there is a plan, there is also a precept. God's pattern for your 2018 is summarized in these particular verses. Let's look at it for just a moment. First of all, we celebrate because we can be thankful that our trials also include our testimony. When you look back over your 2017, you can say that you had your trials. As we see in the text, God says in verse number 2 to his people, I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen God work. And here it is. We also have had our Egypt experiences. We also have had our backs against the wall at the Red Sea. And we've also had some angry armies on our trail. But if you notice the language of verse 2, his conversation is with those who not only have had the trial, but have also got the testimony. When you look back over 12 months, you can see that you've had your experiences. But in all of your experiences, the fact you're still here says you also have the testimony. We who have been there, we who know the deal, we who have the t-shirt to prove that we were there. Yes, it was us who was broken. Yes, we lost our income. Yes, we were by ourselves, but we made it to right now. What is it that as you have your trials that gives you a testimony? Well, when you survey verses 3 through 6, you see that there is some mention of God's mighty acts. There is God's miracles. There are some movements. There is some mobility. There are some manifestation that only God could bring forth. And even when we look like Israel in our rearview mirror, we can see over these 12 months that God has been faithful. You know, let me just drop this on you. When I began to look back over 12 months, and I wanted to complain the other day, but then I had to see the goodness of God. And then here's what he showed me that really caused me to rejoice. He said, it's not been about what's on your side or what's been in your pocket, but it's always been about who's on your side. And it's one thing to have somebody on your side that can't do anything to help you out of some situations. But when you have someone who is on your side that's all powerful and has favor on your behalf, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? And he says to us in verse number 7, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Listen, don't let anybody fool you. You've had enough stuff to go on this year, and somebody would say this past week, that would have drove you crazy were it not for the present power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You had enough stuff that would have caused you to slit your wrists or blow your brains out, to walk away from your home, to leave your church, to get out of God, if it were not for what the Lord did. And so when you look back and you remember and you say, my eyes, not another, my eyes in my situation have seen what God has done for me. No one can take my testimony. Now, here is a danger in the church today that we don't like to talk about our trials because we are embarrassed. Let me tell you the thing the Lord showed me about ministry. A lot of times we want to operate in ministry with transparency. God does not just want us transparent, because when I'm transparent, yes, you can see on the inside, but I control the shade. Sometimes God will have our best ministry in those moments, not while we're being transparent, but we are totally vulnerable. In other words, you tell the whole story. Yeah, it was me, yeah. I thought about jumping the fence and doing some things the other way, but he kept me. Your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which the Lord has done, and therefore I'm thankful that as I've had my trials, they also had my testimony. Is there anybody thankful in here when you look back over your life that as you've had your trial, you also have a story you've got to tell? The reason why our children don't come to church, the reason why our grandchildren have lost their way, is because we stop talking about what we struggle with and how the Lord brought us through. We want to pretend that we've never been there and never struggle with some of the same stuff. And were it not for the Lord's activity, we'd still be where they are right now. And once you quit telling your testimony, they're left to feel they're by themselves in their trial. And there's a whole lot of stuff in the world that they will resort to rather than the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so we are thankful that we have our trials because they include our testimony. But then secondly, this one really applies to how you move forward in the next year. The second thing I want to lift for you is you've got to learn how to operate in obedience. Verse 1, therefore thou shalt, command of God, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge, his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Here it is. A lot of folks, even some who are sitting in this room right now, are looking forward to having a better 2018. But the question that I have that's still on the table is, where is the renewed commitment to walk by his word? In other words, you want God to bless you to have a better year, but you want to do things your own way. And where is
our surrender to serve him wherever he sends us. We want to have the blessing. How many of you want to have the blessing of God? You want to have the blessing of God? Here it is. Verse 1 tells us clearly that we ought to value our relationship with him, to love him enough to obey him. Listen, if you don't want to obey him, then you're going to have a hard time. It's like growing up in a house where you have a mother and father who do everything they can to make life easy and to bless your life, and you want to do everything you can to disobey them. And we all know how that turns out. Well, how can we progress as individuals and as a church family if our desire is not to renew our commitment to follow him? Some of us are going to be just as uncommitted on tomorrow as we've been all year in 2017. Now watch this. God is still going to bless you to get up and have a good portion of health and strength. He's going to make sure you have food to eat. He's going to get you from point A to point B, regardless of how raggedy that car might be. He's going to keep a roof over your head. He's going to bless you upon blessing, blessing upon blessing. And yet our commitment toward him does not change. Verse 1 is all about relationship. I must pay attention to the word of God and listen for my instruction that comes out of it. In other words, when I come to church and I hear the word of God, I cannot tune out, because that's where I'm getting my instruction for my life. I'm not just hearing someone give a long-winded message, but I'm listening for the instruction for my life, and therefore I'm more attentive, I'm more diligent to what I'm hearing, to make sure it is the truth of God's word that I might walk it out. He says that we pay attention to his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments, because we love him. Then verse 13 presents an opportunity for us, because he gives it to us in a way that if we will choose to love him in such fashion, he says that there are some things that we can expect from the Lord. But what we see in verse 13 is he includes our heart and our hands in our love. In other words, he says that we go beyond our lip service and we actually do that which we claim we love. In other words, he says, if you love me, then your heart will be in surrender to my lordship. Listen, if you're going to prosper, if you're going to be blessed in this Christian walk, it's going to only be one individual on the throne of your heart. It's either him or you. And if it's not him, then we're in trouble. But since it is him, I pray that we must also incorporate our heart, not only to love him, to obey him, but then watch this, our hands are surrendered to serve him. In other words, I cannot be committed if I'm not willing to also do what the Lord says. Every bit of our being for his honor and for his glory. Is that the prayer of anybody in this house? For his glory and for his honor, everything about me in 2018. I may not have gotten it right in 2017, but Lord, if you will bless me, I'm going to do it better in 2018. He says, love the Lord God with all your heart and serve him with your hands, diligently working in his vineyard, knowing that pay is sure. But what I love about verse 13 is that it includes this prophetic watchword. He says, and it shall come to pass. Is there anybody glad that there are some things that will come to pass? When you love God, when you serve God, there are some things that will come to pass. We thank God that 2017 is going to come to pass. But guess what? You keep living, 2018 is going to come to pass. And only what you've done for Christ is going to last in eternity. And while we are here serving, while we are here obeying Him, I'm so glad that there are some things in my sickness, in my struggle, in my pain that will come to pass. In other words, I'm transitioning out of the place of poverty and pain and brokenness into something else. Is there anybody glad that something is happening in your life? Something is coming to pass that has not been, but it's on the horizon. You can see it even though you can't touch it. Says, and it shall come to pass. What is it that will come to pass? Thirdly, it is the season for saturation is sure. Here is what we deal with the rain. Rain falling with purpose. I know many times when it rains, we don't really like the rain because we have to get an umbrella and it gets you wet. It's just burdensome to deal with. But here in this text, rain is actually welcome. The Lord says, I will give the rain to you. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The Lord saying, I will give the rain to you. You all remember about last year it was that we had a major drought. And while most of us may have been happy because that meant more days around the beach and the pool and didn't have to worry about it hampering your travel plans, but for those farmers, for those who grew crops, they were worried. They were worried because they knew that without the rain, then when it came time for harvest, there would be nothing to gather in. And for the church, we ought to always be in a position of readiness for the rain of God to fall among us. And here it is. I see this in the text. God says, you know, sometimes when we don't have what we need, we like to manufacture our own avenue for blessing. Y'all are going to talk to me. You know, we go the other way rather than wait on God. But here God says, with a surety it shall come to pass that I will give you the rain. Here it is. When you see in the Bible, anywhere it talks about God giving, you ought to celebrate because that's grace. Y'all ain't gonna hear me. I told you a few weeks ago that the church, I wish we could get back to the place where we would learn how to just celebrate the grace of God. God giving to us what we don't deserve when we desperately needed it. And when nobody else could give it to us because they didn't have it to give. But when we see in the text God giving us anything other than a whooping, we ought to celebrate because that's the grace of God extended to us. And in this text, I see grace for your 2018. Yes, you may be worried about how you're going to make it, but verse 14 reveals that there is some grace on your behalf. The rain for your land at the right time for him to give it and for you to receive it. On time, God is going to send the rain. Now, when I looked a little closer, I wondered why he made the distinguishment between the first rain and a latter rain. Seems to me as rain is just rain. But then I looked a little closer, the first rain, Mara, and latter rain, Melkosh, which means for 6 months, from late April to October, no rain fell. And during this time, the soil became dry, parched, and thirsty like you are right now. And it's interesting that around early November and all the way through about March that the first rain would fall. The first rain would fall, and it had a purpose in falling. The first rain would fall, that it would bring forth an opportunity for the ground to get ready for the seed that was about to be planted. Isn't it interesting that some of you in this room today, that around the year closing, God reminded you of some dream and some vision that you had for last year, but it wasn't time. It wasn't your season. And now he has reminded you that the ground is getting ready to receive your aspirations. Ever got any dreamers in here? Anybody with aspirations? First rain would fall for 2 months. The winter rain would fall from December to March, and then the latter rain would fall from March to April. It was, and the first rain was to prepare the ground for the reception of the seed. And the one who planted waited patiently with longing, for he knew that his ground was about to be saturated, broken up for seed. Where is your seed? On December 31st, 2017. What is it that's in your hand that God wants you to plant in this season as you wait for the rain? What is it about this season that God has reminded you as you cross over to be ready to see something different? Then he talks about not only a first rain that prepares the ground for reception, but if he only gave the first rain, it would give you the opportunity to plant. But in order to bring in harvest, you needed to have the latter rain. The latter rain allowed for continued refreshment and for whatever was planted to grow to maturity. Don't leave me here. Some things we're ready and we're running, we're chomping at the bit to plant, but you got to understand you've also got to wait on the Lord for some of those things that you're planting to grow to maturity. Otherwise, you're going to get a premature harvest and you're going to miss so what God has for you. In other words, God has the moisture to bring forth the appropriate springtime products from your field. You need to get your seed. You need to get your fruit. Get your harvest. Because verse 14 tells us that when God brings the rain, that you're going to have the opportunity to also gather. That may not mean much to some of you in this room, but it meant a whole lot to me when I thought about the labor that goes into everything that you planted and that you work for, you strove for, and yet you felt dryness all around. And not realizing that it was only until the Lord sends the rain that you're going to realize the harvest. It's nothing wrong with the seed that he gave you. It's just the right timing as to manifest. With God, timing is everything. And when you are ready to move forward, when you are ready to launch forth, don't you know, baby, no devil in hell can block you, stop you, keep you, prevent you, or anything else condemn you, because the Lord has spoken that it is your season. The rain is falling. The rain is falling in your life. The rain is falling in your church. The rain is falling on your business. The rain is falling on your health. And in the right season, you shall be able to go out and gather in the corn and the wine and the oil. In other words, nothing is lost in the field that's planted where there is also some rain. Maybe the reason why it did not produce a harvest is because you didn't let the Lord rain on it. When was the last time you invited the Holy Spirit over and laid out all of your dreams and aspirations and put them before the Lord, that you brought those things before the altar of the Lord and you laid them there. And you said, Lord, in your time, do as you only can do and bless me according to your word. Maybe the real issue is that we have everybody's input. We have everything else on it, but we don't have the reign of God's power falling on what we are trying to do. And he says that when you have planted, when the rain has fallen, there will be a season where there will be a harvest. And then watch this. He says in verse 15, I will send grass in thy field for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. In other words, God is saying here that he'll bless what you're using to be blessed by, what you're using, what you're growing from. He says, I'll break provision for your provision. I wish I had some help in this house. He says, I'll keep healthy and sustain that which you have as an avenue for your blessing. Everything you touch shall go forth because of the rain. Israel understood the significance of having the rain of God because they were getting ready to go to a new place. They knew what it was like to see God move in Egypt because that's where they were coming from. They even at this time had the experience of the wilderness where they had to travel for 40 long years. But now they were on the doorstep, just like we're on the doorstep of a new year. And they had some wondering in themselves about how things were going to be in a new place, in a new region, in a new year. And so God seemingly calms them down by helping them to remember that just like I was with you in Egypt, and just like I was there with you when you were in the wilderness, don't you know about where I'm taking you? Here's what I love about this text is when we see all of these things that pertain to the rain, that pertain to their obedience and pertain to them having thankfulness because of their testimony. The last thing I leave you is we need to take just a moment and picture the possession. Isn't it good to know that just as we have some uncertainty about what tomorrow is going to bring, for many of us it may bring a new job, may bring a new location, new address, a new boo, new something all around us. But whatever it is, it's going to bring us to a day we've never seen before. But what I love about God is he does not leave us uninformed, without enlightenment, because just as he helps us to understand, we don't have to worry and we don't have to fear. Look at verse 10 through 12. He gives us a picture of the possession. He says, if you just take a moment and look at this place, a land filled and flowing with milk and honey. For the land where you are going to possess is not as the land of Egypt, praise God, from which you came out, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. In other words, you had to go through hard trial in everything you did. But the land where you are going to possess is a land of hills and valleys and drinks water of the rain, here it is, of heaven. In other words, it has a source that's timely. It's not related to the natural seasons. In other words, he said, God knows when to send the rain. And the land you're going is a land the Lord God cares for. It is a prepared land. The eyes of the Lord are always upon where you're going. From the beginning of the year even to the end of the year, the Lord knows where we are going. That's why we can celebrate on today. That I may be in a dry and a parched land right now, but the Lord knows where he's carrying us. You may have some difficult days in the year ahead. You may have some trying times like you've had this year, but we can celebrate the fact that our God is with us. Is there anybody here that can thank God that when you see Canaan, You can say that I look like I'm going to Canaan. I may have gone through Egypt and I may have endured hell and been in some high waters. I may have been backed up at the Red Sea. I may have had enemies all around me. But even as I open my eyes and God blesses me in a new year, I will rejoice because God is with me. And as I live, I thank Him that when the rain comes, there will also be a harvest. I'm not been depending upon man's word. I'm not depending upon my boss. I'm not depending upon my haters' approval. I'm depending and waiting upon the Lord above. And whatever He says shall surely come to pass. I'm trying to help you have a blessed new year. If you just get your mind off your trouble and get your mind off your enemies and even get your mind up off your fake friends and get off of Facebook and turn off Twitter and quit your email and get off of all of social media and get in the closet before the Lord and begin to seek His face, He will reveal to you that He has a blessing for you. If you stay with Him and stay on target, He will bless your life. And we praise God for all of those things that are yet to come in our lives. For it's in Jesus Christ that we live, move, and have our being. And as God sends the rain on your life, may that rain fall on those that are around you, that your influence would increase. And I've learned that that's the greatest prayer we ought to have, is that when the rain falls to bring a harvest into our own household, it ought to bless somebody around us. It ought to transition us into greater demonstrations of His glory for greater impact. We extend an invitation right now on this last day of 2017.